I'm Mark Bayshore. It's Current State on WKAR. A longtime Lansing area political activist wants to put more teeth into preventing political corruption locally. Walt Sorg is chairman of the nonprofit Lansing Citizens for Ethics Reform. Last week, it submitted to the city clerk more than 6,000 ballot signatures supporting a city anti-corruption ordinance. The organization's hope is to enact stricter city regulations involving contributions to mayoral and city council campaigns, lobbying, and transparency to prevent corruption. Yesterday, I spoke with Walt Sorg and first asked him what triggered this effort.
It all started with some citizens in Lansing who became aware of an effort in Tallahassee, Florida, to do something like this. And the referendum passed with more than two-thirds of the vote, very popular. They contacted the folks down there who had morphed into Represent.us, which is a national organization totally focused on the issues of ethics in government, and in particular trying to get the big money influences reduced in government at all levels.
How much urgency is there for the reforms that your group would like to see?
In the city of Lansing, it is not an urgent issue, and that's one of the reasons why I've moved forward with it. I don't want to turn this into a pissing match with the mayor or with the council. We're not saying anything bad about them or even about the people who replace them down the road. It could be two generations, three generations, but we know it can happen. All you have to do is look at what happened in Detroit with Kwame Kilpatrick, and you can have a real mess. There's no regulation regarding lobbying of city government. All we're trying to do is make the lobbying regulation at the city level comparable to what it is at the state.
You claim representation across the political spectrum. One focus of your ordinance would be preventing former city officials from accepting lobbyist positions for 2 years after they leave the city. Not a problem now? I mean, would you admit that's not a problem now and more of a preventative type measure?
It's preventative, but all you have to do is walk across the street from City Hall and it is a problem. An awful large percentage of legislators, when they're termed out, immediately become lobbyists.
And is city government vulnerable to that kind of influence?
I don't
want
to find out. There's no reason why it should be made vulnerable to it. And rather than finding out and having the crisis and dealing with it after the fact, let's just not let it happen.
Walt Sorg is our guest. Walt's the chairman of the nonprofit organization Lansing Citizens for Ethics Reform, which last week submitted more than 6,000 signatures to the city clerk supporting the establishment of a city anti-corruption ordinance. Quote, all money spent by lobbyists in Lansing would be fully transparent and gifts to public officials would be disclosed. Would you create a database?
Yeah, it would be a database online that you could easily interrogate. Right now, lobbyists can operate completely in secrecy in city government, and there's nothing illegal about it.
Elected officers and key board members would be required to post a full personal financial disclosure form online detailing their major sources of income outside of government as well as all gifts. Pretty self-explanatory there.
And it's pretty close to what they are required to do now. It's a little more expansive in terms of who's covered.
The ordinance would also reimburse any city resident $25 who donates that much or more to a mayoral campaign or a city council campaign. Why that?
That empowers voters at the base level. Right now, most campaigns at the state and national level especially are just totally dominated by the big money. All you have to do is look at the major candidates for president to see it at its extreme. This gets people more involved in the process who otherwise might not be able to afford to get involved or have an interest in getting involved. I've used the example of comparing it with the NCAA tournament. You put $5 into an office pool on the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden you care more about that Weber State Brigham Young game. If you're putting $25 into a campaign for city council, you're going to pay more attention to the issues, to the candidates, and it gets you involved. Plus, from the candidate's point of view, they listen the most to the people that are supporting their campaigns. And believe me, having run for office at that level when I ran for state rep, you notice a $25 contribution.
To what extent, Walt Sorg, are you or is your organization concerned about big spending in mayoral or city council campaigns right now? Is that also not a real big deal, but it's more of a preventive thing?
I don't want to pass judgments on the mayoral. The last mayoral election we had was so one-sided, it's hard to use that as an example. But the numbers are getting bigger and bigger around the country in local elections. We see more and more of these big money PACs are getting involved in local government to start building the farm team that filters up to the state and national level. And we don't want to see all of a sudden the huge donors totally dominating the campaigns, because if they're dominating the campaigns, they're going to dominate the policy process that results from it.
Walt Sorg is chairman of the nonprofit organization Lansing Citizens for Ethics Reform. Last week, the organization submitted more than 6,000 signatures to the Lansing City Clerk supporting the establishment of a city anti-corruption ordinance. This effort's independent of the existing city board of ethics, correct?
Correct. As I mentioned to you, I didn't even know who was on the board until this morning.
Does the existing board of ethics have the authority or the tools to oversee potential corruption right now? Or how does what you're trying to achieve mesh up with what the Board of Ethics is doing now?
We give them more power. First of all, they would be allowed to initiate investigations. Right now, they cannot. It has to be referred to them. And they can't start their own investigations. Also, we strengthen the penalties that are available, both criminal and civil, for violations of the ethics ordinances.
You would not want them to take this as a sign that they're not vigorous enough about their responsibilities, though.
Oh, all we're saying to them is, hey, we'd like to make you more powerful.
Any response from the Bernero administration?
Only indirectly. The mayor has my number, but he hasn't called yet, and I'm beginning to think he doesn't love me anymore. He's not happy with this proposal. He's laid out a couple of objections, which on close examination really don't amount to a whole heck of a lot. What's interesting is that every concept contained in here, the actual idea of these ordinances, he supported all of these concepts in the past, including public financing of political campaigns.
Mm. I'm curious. You acknowledged in your press release that, and I'll quote here, Lansing has been fortunate to have very honest government and has avoided the ethical problems that have plagued cities like Detroit, unquote. Has anyone responded that you're promoting a solution in search of a problem?
The mayor.
The mayor has said
he
that.
He has. But to me, that's sort of like saying we shouldn't do health inspections of pools because nobody has gotten sick, or we shouldn't be taking steps to combat terrorism. Or for that matter, we shouldn't have speed limits. We should only investigate accidents after they happen. We shouldn't try to prevent them.
So transparency is at the heart of this ordinance.
Absolutely, because transparency is an important part of people having faith in the integrity of their government. Really good example of that. And I'm not alleging anything improper happened, but it was very secretive. And that's when the mayor made a deal with a private company to take over the Hope Soccer Complex, which had been run by Ingham County Parks Department. And he made a deal for a private company to start running it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the deal or that it was a bad idea, but it was completely in secret. I have no reason to believe that there was anything wrong with it, but it did not foster further trust in government to have a secret deal like
that. Not enough sunlight. Does it concern you that there have been serious abuses that have simply gone undetected in the past that no one knows about?
I'm not going to make allegations about that, that would be speculation.
It could be the distant past.
I'm sure there are things that have gone on in the past that I have missed. The reason we have an ethics board in the first place, which was passed in 1994, was the outgrowth of a scandal at City Hall when they had an early retirement program put in place, and two of the people who took advantage of it were the mayor and the city attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And that it resulted in a cleaning of the House of City Council, among other things.
Assuming you have the number of signatures you need, what's next?
The city clerk has 15 days from when we submitted the signatures, which was a week from today, actually. We submitted the signatures. He's got 15 days to certify that they are adequate, which is about 4,000. And then he submits it to city council. We believe that'll be on July 8th. Council has 30 days to vote up or down on the ordinance. If they choose to enact it, it's over. If they choose not to enact it, it goes to the voters in November.
Are you confident it would pass if it made it to the ballot?
I've only got Tallahassee to judge on, plus the response we received that was relayed to me during the collection process for signatures. It would pass overwhelmingly. This is a very popular subject. Are you for or against stronger ethics in city government?
What about paying for it, though? How much funding would it require, and how would it be funded? Do you know?
We've got a pretty good idea of what it would cost. There is a cap right in the ordinance on how much over a four-year cycle can be spent, because there's no expenditures for campaign finance matching during even-numbered years, because there's no city elections. In an off-year election where you only have council races, such as what we've got going on right now, it would be capped at $450,000. In years when there's a mayoral election, every 4 years, it would be $900,000. So it averages out to $335,000 a year maximum. That assumes that everybody decides, oh, I'm going to give $25 of my tax dollars to candidate X, Y, or Z and participate in the process. Some people will say, no, I don't want to participate in this. And so that's a cap. To put that in perspective, the $330,000 a year, that's about $3 per resident of the city, and it represents about 0.25% of the city's budget. It's minimal at best. Administrative costs, the mayor apparently is projecting it's going to cost $600,000 to $700,000 a year for administration, because those are the numbers he's using, and I think that's ridiculous. It appears to me like the administrative side of it can be handled maybe by a half-time or maybe one full-time position in the clerk's office. It's not that odious or detailed a process. The initial registration may take a little bit more help for lobbyists, but once it's in place, it's pretty simple.
We want to thank our guest. Walt Sorg is chairman of the nonprofit organization Lansing Citizens for Ethics Reform. Last week, the group submitted more than 6,000 signatures to the city clerk supporting the establishment of a city anti-corruption ordinance. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you.